just before this panel, Jan and I were talking about, you know, NAFTA probably should never have happened. It took so much to get where it did, and there was sort of this dancing around, and the question in the last panel about the Labor Commission, it's like, we'll throw it in to get it passed. It was a hurdle we had to get over. Perhaps it was never meant to be. The Labor Commission was never meant to work. We just wanted to get the ball rolling. And one of the things I want to point out is that NAFTA's kind of been a magnet for all the things that never happened, all the things that should have happened. It all gets thrown onto what was essentially a trade agreement in certain sectors. We all wanted it to be something else. As Andre Downs said this morning, it's an agreement for the last century. It's not what it should be. And then Carl's comment just a minute ago about Elliot Feldman saying it's not worth fixing. It's probably not worth fixing. It's probably worth looking at the things that need fixing and dealing with them around NAFTA. But I wanted to talk about perceptions in the United States and in the other countries. It was nativists and nationalists in all our countries found NAFTA a big threat. Canada kind of got over it with the free trade agreement from 1988, and that Canada still remained Canada. It wasn't necessarily more American. In fact, it was probably more Canadian after the free trade agreement than it was before. NAFTA was never meant to be a blueprint for North American integration. It was a trade agreement. Some people wanted it to be integration, and I think Bob Pastor's ideas of having integration was for NAFTA and have some kind of integration. But it was not a plan to give citizenship to Mexicans, nor was it a plan to build a superhighway that would rent the United States in two. But it reminds me of younger people in the United States. Now, you sort of saw in Jan's slides about Republicans and Democrats. Anything that's a problem now in the United States is Obama's fault. So kids will say, they'll miss the bus and say, thanks, Obama. Or it's snowing out, or like, thanks, Obama. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just become a joke. And this is kind of, it's like, well, thanks, NAFTA. It's always NAFTA's fault. And I think that the agreement has taken on far more meaning than it did, was meant to 20 years ago. And also, NAFTA became a synonym for North America. I think we have to be careful when we talk about what's NAFTA and what's North America. NAFTA isn't North America, and also in the United States, NAFTA means Mexico. I think Carl's comments just a minute ago about, the issues that Canada has with the United States. For Canadians, their issues with the United States. For Americans, the issues full stop. They're not necessary issues with Canada. The bridge in Detroit is not an issue with Canada, except for some people who are angry that the Canadians are going to pay for something and it's getting us into government things. But it's really not about Canada. I mean, it's really too bad because Canada and the United States do have a great relationship. They work together. It's almost seamless, in spite of some of the issues that Carl pointed out that remain issues and have remained issues for a very long time. Generally, it's not about Canada. It's more about the political process that people are able to manipulate in the United States. But NAFTA does mean greater trade cooperation for its other neighbors and for Canadians. But for others, NAFTA is the hegemon trying to extract as much as it can from its neighbors. And it's also dealt with ambivalence. It really put Mexico in a bind. Mexico had to really, in fact, we didn't really talk too much about that. It was proposed by the Mexicans. And Canada didn't want to get left out, so it kind of said, okay, we'll go along. Would have been happy, as Carl just meant, just dealing with bilateral issues and having just the Canada-US part. But Mexico didn't necessarily follow through, nor did Canada or the United States follow through with the policies that were necessary to support such a trade agreement. And that was talked about this morning. You can sign the agreement, but it's not some kind of magic wand that makes everything happen. Citizens, policymakers, decision makers, legislators all need to get to work to make it work. In 10 years, it started to work a little better, and in 20 years, it's working even better. But the issues that were meant to be completely fixed, or at least addressed, such as immigration, never really were. And now that in the United States we have a Congress that really can't get anything done, hoping that immigration is going to get fixed because it should doesn't mean it will. But NAFTA did have a positive impact on the number and quality of many jobs in North America. Yes, there were jobs that didn't get through, but I'll get to that in the negative parts. It did increase foreign trade and investment. Carl gave us some figures. It did help Mexican manufacturers adopt U.S. technological innovations more quickly. And it reduced some economic volatility. But it did fail to improve the Mexican economy as much as been predicted. It failed dramatically to reduce income disparities in Mexico, between Mexico, the United States, and Canada. It did not foster the policies for more integration. And it did not succeed in creating a North American community, but I maintain it was never meant to do that. Trade is not necessarily a popular issue, and I think Jan had some great slides of what Americans felt about NAFTA that were all over the place, which I think probably the whole line just should have been a green line all the way across saying, I don't know. But trade is bad. Americans, or most of us, want exports. Exports are great. We want to sell abroad. But we're not sure we want to have imports. Imports are bad. Imports from China are bad. Imports from Mexico are bad. Canada is kind of okay. We like them. But when we signed NAFTA 20 years ago, we could not have foreseen the rise of China. China was percolating, but we would have designed a different agreement had we seen China 2014 back then. Nor could we have foreseen the tragic events of September 11th. And say what you will, it really did affect Americans in a very strong way, ways that we're still dealing with, ways that a lot of Canadians don't agree with. It thickened the border. It thickened the border with Mexico and made us have passports. You look at the tourism lines that we saw earlier, they're way down. It's unfortunate, but it was not foreseen, and we didn't intend it to go there. But I don't think we can throw the NAFTA baby out with bathwater just because we couldn't foresee things that were not able to be foreseen. There were other things that had Mexican agricultural reform had already started before NAFTA began, and it didn't pan out the way it should have. The corn issue was not necessarily entirely a NAFTA issue. A lot of jobs in the United States going overseas was not entirely a NAFTA issue, or going to Mexico. Globalization often gets magnetically stuck to NAFTA, and that's an entirely different issue. Globalization is happening whether we want it to or not. We have a clunky agreement between our three countries that kind of works for the three countries, but it doesn't necessarily address globalization as well as it probably should. NAFTA did open up a huge market for consumers in the three countries of North America. We have 470 million people and an average per capita GDP of $41,000. It's probably the most attractive consumer market in the world. It's a $19 trillion regional market. 6 million U.S. jobs depend on trade with Mexico, and 8 million jobs depend on trade with Canada. But interesting, we haven't really talked too much about it, was that NAFTA was really the first agreement to join developed countries with a developing country. That's a huge hurdle. Considering we did not have the institutions built into NAFTA for intentional reasons, whether we should have or not or something else, we didn't have the ways to help parts of southern Mexico the way the European Union helped Portugal, Ireland, and whatever it did with Greece. I don't know whether that helped, but sorry for my cynicism there. But it did pave the way for North American manufacturing. We make goods together. Yes, it's mostly big business and not necessarily small and medium enterprises, but you do have supply chains that go across the country. And I think the poster child for this is Bombardier Aerospace, where you have product, parts being made in Querétaro, you have parts being made in Kansas, you have parts being made in Canada. They're all assembled into one North American plane. When the United States imports a finished product from Mexico, that product has about 40% U.S. content. Average imports from Canada contain about 25% U.S. content. So this stuff is going back and forth across the border. U.S. imports from China have about 4% U.S. Content, and imports from Europe have about 2% or less. So we buy from each other and we help ourselves. NAFTA has been looked at as a model for other trade negotiations, but the world has changed a lot in the past 20 years. I think originally it was a way to see who you can get together and what you can do, and perhaps what you can do with the United States, because I'll admit the United States is never easy to work with. One of the things the United States did get into this and to other issues was intellectual property rights, which remains one of the biggest trade issues the United States has with Canada. I'm not sure you know that here, but in the United States, that's about all you hear. So the global competition has gone up since NAFTA was signed, which is why some of the lines that you see about the proportion of trade with NAFTA is not what it was. We're trading more with the rest of the world. I think the gains from NAFTA happened at the beginning, and I think we're expecting to see a continuation of that line, but the world has changed, and while we have something relatively good in North America, our focus has changed to the rest of the world. But should we dump NAFTA? I don't know. So NAFTA's overall success story, I maintain. Trade investments have increased. We have a lot more intra-firm work. There's more specialization in industries, notably in Canada and in Mexico. We have the North American manufacturing platform. We do have losses. If it's a process for regional expansion, we never did it. NAFTA did contain a way to invite other parties in, and we never pursued that. Rich countries have refused to budge on agricultural issues, and agriculture remains a problem with Canada, the United States, and Mexico. I mean, we could talk about supply management for the rest of the day. Nor did it include energy security and migration. But probably the biggest problem in the room, as I mentioned a minute ago, is the United States is difficult to work with. One of the big problems is divided government in the United States. Divided government means that the Congress, which has trade, takes care of trade, does not want to give its authority up even to the executive of the United States. So the Congress does trade, a Republican-dominated Congress right now, but they don't want to give anything to the president, let alone President Obama. So if they're not even going to give it to Obama, do you think they're going to give it to Mexico or to Canada? Very, very, very unlikely. And that's one of the challenges with dealing with the United States. That's kind of the way it is. If you want to deal with the United States, you've got to deal with that. Borders remain an issue, but I do think this very slow incremental progress with beyond the border negotiations. Immigration is off the hook now, I think, for this Congress, which is too bad because I think the Republicans are shooting themselves in the foot by not embracing immigration. They're going to lose a lot of Hispanic and Spanish-speaking Americans because they feel left out. We also didn't really talk about the Great Recession in 2008, and we didn't perceive that. Yes, it bound us together, but we also had some good cement among us so that we didn't go down further than we might have otherwise. So let me just leave it there, and I think we can have a good conversation in the question period. Je promets de vous répondre en français.
Merci, David.